Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Ancosh, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing Mark Ancosh, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider audience in the American South. We also wish to greet today our guest, who has been with us for the last hour, will be with us for the next hour. To be followed then at 9 a.m. by Bill Bloom of Anti-Empire Report. But for the next hour, we're with Thomas Ginn. You can find some of Thomas's websites at csanews.net, confederatelegion.com, as well as confederatestatesalliance.net. We've been talking about this whole issue of a potential repristination of the Confederate States of America, what it would mean if that were to happen, and how that system would differ from where we are now, both in regard to a Leviathan central government, as well as that Leviathan central government's participation in many of the institutions of a new world order. Thomas, getting back to our conversation, I've been jotting down a series of notes in the last hour on different issues, some of which you've touched upon briefly, which I maybe would like to go into in more detail, as it relates to the way you envision that a CSA would handle some of these political and cultural issues according to its own heritage and its own constitutional position. Both of these relate both to domestic policy as well as to foreign policy. Let's take the whole issue of abortion, for example. In January of 1973, of course, January 22nd, 1973, there was a Supreme Court decision in this country called Roe versus Wade. And as I understand it, that particular decision, whatever one thinks about the abortion issue, was nonetheless a decision where the Supreme Court of the United States chose to see as constitutional a practice that is nowhere enumerated in the Constitution of the United States in the first place, and that secondarily was prohibited in the vast majority of entities comprising the so-called United States of America. So due to a majority vote on the Supreme Court at that time, during the days of the Warren Court, you had something that was adjudged to be an unlawful practice in something like 45 out of 50 states that suddenly became a right enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. How would a Confederate States of America handle that abortion issue constitutionally?
Well, let us go forward a little bit and let us assume that the political wars and what have you and the liberation has already taken place. A special election has been held, and the seats that we consider the valid but vacant seats in the Confederate States government have been filled. We've inaugurated a new president, the second president. Okay, with the U.S. federal authority in the member states and territories of the Confederacy having ended, the issue of the Supreme Court having made that decision would be null and void. It would be from the start. There would be no the federal judges would then simply be sitting on an empty bench. The bench would have no validity or authority. And so they would be looking for a new work. Then what you have is the issue is automatically returned to the states. And so it is probably, my estimation would be, that probably most of the member states of the Confederacy would simply outlaw open and free abortions, meaning that a woman would not be able to get an abortion for any reason. There would have to be a situation where the actual life...
We'll be back with Thomas Ginn. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Thomas Ginn. You can find Thomas Ginn and his advocacy for a future Confederate States of America at csanews.net. You can also find Tom at confederatelegion.com. And if you're really interested in looking at this whole business of a proclamation of independence that he was speaking with us about earlier, you can do so at ConfederateStatesAlliance.net. There you will find that Proclamation of Independence. Thomas, we were talking before the break about the a series of issues I'd like to take up with you. You've already touched upon some of them related to the way that a Confederate States of America and its Constitution would handle certain domestic and foreign political issues. We were talking about abortion before the break. I think, to me, the most key thing in terms of the 1973 U.S. Supreme Court decision entitled Roe versus Wade, is that whatever one thinks about the abortion issue one way or another, and I personally am on the so-called pro-life side of that debate, nonetheless, it seems, and I've said this to a lot of people who don't agree with me on the abortion issue, that nonetheless they better take a look at the brand of judicial tyranny and activism, unconstitutionally so, that was involved in that Roe versus Wade decision. For it seems to me that essentially what happened in that circumstance was that a federal court, the highest federal court in the land, essentially acted as a legislature and enacted its own will upon the American public by doing a complete end run around the state legislatures.
I believe that when one looks at it from this, most average citizens would not understand all of the legalities of why they did what they did, because really there weren't any. They just invented a right that was never in the Constitution. And if there had been anything in the Constitution, there's nowhere in the Constitution assigned the Supreme Court or any federal court the right to override the states on such, these are domestic issues. And let us consider this. The United States was founded basically upon the principles laid down in the Declaration of Independence. Among those was the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Supreme Court in the Roe versus Wade restricted the first of those three. That's the right to life. Whether we appreciate it or not, from the foundations of the world, certainly mentioned in Scripture, life has been considered as beginning with conception and ending with natural death. And in between that time, we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think that this is what they did in Roe versus Wade. Now, in returning it to the states, one could only, if the pro-abortionists think they have enough support, then on the state level, they will not go through the state judiciary. They will go through the state legislature. And those state legislators would be answerable directly to the people in the next election, and very likely would be turned out of office if they pass such a thing. But that would be for them to compete instead of having, in other words, the days when courts acted as legislators under the Confederacy would be over. Now, does it mean courts would go out of business? Of course not. If two states are conflicting over where the border is supposed to be, that's a proper jurisdiction of a federal court to decide. And another case, let me say, in the proper use of a federal court, is if two state laws conflict with each other, it is not the right of the federal government to terminate one law and approve the other. It would simply be for the federal court to say which state has jurisdiction in a particular case. Now, that is acting as a referee and not as a legislator. This is the proper role of federal courts, and the Confederacy would return to that principle. And so I think that the proper place for the abortion issue, I'm on the pro-life side also, as one could easily guess, but nonetheless, it would return automatically to the state upon the return of the Confederate government. That would happen without, you would need no legislative action for that to happen, although there may well be. But it would automatically simply return by the absence of the U.S. government and the U.S. federal courts. It would automatically return to the states, along with all the other domestic issues.
Yes, and I've tried to say to some of my friends on the left, who I think fail to understand this either morally or constitutionally, that just dealing with the constitutional issues, I've emphasized to them that, hey, the Supreme Court that said something in January of 1973 that you liked is the same Supreme Court that at a future time could reimpose this type of judicial tyranny in a way that you don't like. And so what you see clearly today is a circumstance where there is a tug of war back and forth between so-called left and right in the United States over who's going to control the Supreme Court or some other branch of the federal judiciary, when quite clearly it seems that that is missing the point in regard to the fact that constitutionally these issues are definitely issues that should be returned to the states and to the people. What is your thinking, Thomas, in regard to, and I think you've touched upon it before, but I wanted to go into it a little more deeply. It seems to me, certainly since 1945, that the United States has, beginning with the United Nations, been more and more involved in involvement with and the promotion of internationalist organizations. We think of the UN, think of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization come to mind. And now we have this so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership for a North American Union rearing its head, which seems to suggest to its advocates that the United States should become a part of a North American Union based upon the European Union model that, as near as I can tell, would end the existence of the United States as a sovereign, independent nation state. How would the Confederate States of America handle the issue of the UN and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and some of these other globalist institutions?
Number one, I have serious doubts as to whether the World Monetary Fund would survive the collapse. Remember, the United States is the last remaining world superpower. The United States would continue with the rise of the Confederacy, but it would no longer be a superpower. The two nations, when combined as allies, might constitute a superpower, but the United States by itself would no longer be able to act independently in that status. So the monetary fund would be probably reduced, if not bankrupt. The other thing is the Confederacy would be a thorn in the globalist side right from the beginning. That's why you won't find a globalist who would probably support the Confederacy. The third thing the Confederacy would likely do is probably remove the United Nations from the Confederate states and territories of the Confederacy, and probably outlaw their acting in an official capacity within those states. I would even venture to say the Confederacy would probably withdraw the diplomatic status of UN representatives within the borders of the Confederacy. But there is a third thing the Confederacy could do. And I'm not going to say what it will do, but it was something along these lines. The Confederacy could easily form a competitor to the United Nations and the globalists around the world by rallying those nations into a conference, if you want to call that, or an alliance, if you want to call it that, of nations that believe in strict national sovereignty. This means we can ally ourselves in that respect with nations we may not agree with in other ways, simply for the sake of restoring sovereignty among the nations of the earth, not just the Confederacy. And what is left of the United States would no longer be able to resist that. I venture to say that the reason nothing like that has happened before is because it's had no advocate. There's been no nation to stand up and say, hey, we've got a United Nations, why don't we form a new organization which it stands for one principle, and that's sovereignty of the nations. And it would naturally be organized more along the lines of the Confederacy itself. It would be a confederation of nations rather than an attempt to unify the nations. And so, but that could well be done. And the UN could be put back in its place. I think you're always going to have the United Nations, but I think it could be put back under control. They're not supermen. These are made up of men, and the United Nations, like the Roman Empire. I mean, in its day, the Roman Empire was supreme, el supremo. No one could conquer it. Well, it fell apart, and then it was conquered. And so the we don't have supermen here, and so the United Nations can be dealt with.
Well, you know, the great irony to me is that you could see a situation where the Confederate States of America, properly reconstituted and repristinated, could find interesting alliances with anti-colonial, anti-globalist movements in the Third World that one would initially suspect would not be favorable toward a CSA, who could become very favorable toward it on anti-globalization grounds. I find it striking, for example, when I look at the Third World Press, that in a lot of instances, there are new voices in these places speaking out against the UN and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Thomas Ginn. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Thomas Ginn of the Confederate States of America. You can find Thomas's websites at csanews.net. That's csanews.net. You can also find some of his other work at confederatelegion.com. That's confederatelegion.com. You can find the so-called Proclamation of Independence for the Confederate States of America by turning to ConfederateStatesAlliance.net. That's ConfederateStatesAlliance.net. And now we rejoin our conversation with Thomas Ginn, keeping in mind that Bill Bloom of the Anti-Empire Report will be with us shortly after 9 o'clock Central Standard Time this morning. Thomas, in terms of our conversation then, it seems to me that we definitely have a situation where where we not only have seen an inversion of the relationship between the federal government and the state government since the time of Lincoln, but of course, particularly since 1945, it's been obvious that the federal government has been transferring all kinds of things to full-blown participation in the globalist institutions of a new world order. Specifically then, in terms of war-making powers, is it not the case that since the Korean War, you've had a series of American involvements in foreign conflicts that have not involved a constitutional declaration of war, that have involved executive actions by American presidents, and that in some cases have been actions that American presidents have justified by an appeal either to the authority of the UN or some other internationalist institution? How would, for example, the Confederate States of America change this with relation to these wars? And specifically, how do you feel about the present war in Iraq?
Okay, I believe that as far as Iraq, I'll start with that first answer quickly.
Sure.
Iraq is, had I been president, for example, and everybody can imagine the same condition, I would have found the situation may need resolved. We need to do something about Saddam Hussein. But sending an army was not necessary. I spent 20 years in the military in two branches of service, and I met plenty of men with the expertise who could have slipped in there and either arrested him or eliminated him and his brothers and his sons, I mean, and been out of there and left the rest of the country go its way. And these men, there are men who's capable of doing this. If you have to do it, most presidents would say they need a credible deniability. Well, you know, that could be arranged, too. We do have always have need for covert actions in defense of nations. And in my view, covert actions are not desirable, but they are preferable to war. So this is the course I would have taken. I would have prolonged discussions with Saddam Hussein while someone went in there and dealt with him properly. And that way we would not be over there and the billions of dollars would not have been spent. That's how I would have dealt with Iraq. What was the other question?
I think just dealing with this whole question of American involvement in international conflicts and military commitments are under the auspices of some sort of an arm of the New World Order as opposed to the American Congress. I'll give you an example of this. When we entered the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or the NATO alliance, it was understood at the time that that alliance was specifically and exclusively designed to prevent the takeover of Western Europe on the part of the Soviet Union. And then, of course, the entrance into that North Atlantic Treaty Organization had to be approved by the United States Senate. It seems to me that we've got a situation today where the NATO alliance is involved in all kinds of things that have nothing to do with its original charter and that were never approved by the United States Senate in terms of American participation in these newly defined missions. Is this not an example of a circumstance where the American military is at the beck and call of all kinds of things that have nothing to do necessarily with our own national security and that have not been authorized specifically by the Congress?
I think people would find a big difference in the way the military and the Confederacy is laid out. Because of the nature of the states having complete sovereignty over domestic affairs, you would find that you would have no income tax, national income tax in the Confederacy. So the Confederate government.
So you would not have a direct federal income tax.
No, you would not. Okay. The federal government would have other ways to gaining money like governments normally do, either through a sales tax or through a import duty or whatever. But
Thomas, hold your thought. We'll be right back after a commercial break. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Thomas Ginn of the Confederate States of America. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Thomas Ginn of the Confederate States of America. Tom will be with us until 9 o'clock this morning. And then shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Bill Bloom of Anti-Empire Report is going to spend about half an hour with us talking about his publication, which comes out of Washington, D.C., and what is going on with this war in Iraq and what it means in regard to the potential expansion of this present Middle Eastern conflict into a war with Iran. That'll be Bill Bloom of the Anti-Empire Report shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. Also wanted to mention that one of our fine technicians at the Republic Broadcasting Network mentioned to me this morning before we went on air that RBN is very close to having its archives restored. I will keep all of the listeners posted for that, not only for back shows of Mark Dankoff's America, but also for the other fine shows on the Republic Broadcasting Network, thinking of good friends like Frank Whalen and Michael Collins Piper and Kevin Barrett. All of their back shows at some point will be available once again on the archives, which you will be able to access at a future juncture at republicbroadcasting.org. So keep tuned for that. It's just around the corner, and it will give me and the other hosts the opportunity to go back through all of these shows that will at some point be uploaded and to put all of the archival descriptions and links that you're going to need to have that as a user-friendly device as a listener to RBN available to you in the days that are ahead. Also wanted to mention that at Breaking All the Rules News at BATR.net/BATR News, we now have information posted there in regard to Jim Fetzer's appearance on this show last Friday, the 9th of March. Jim Fetzer, of course, is with Scholars for 9/11 Truth, in which you can find at www.911scholars.org. Information on that show from Friday, the 9th of March, is now posted at BATR News. And then I have it understood that Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, the Iranian and Middle Eastern and Central Asian scholar who was with us on Monday, information on his appearance on this show is now available at Breaking All the Rules main news page, with links to some of Dr. Bakhtiar's articles that were discussed on this show on Monday the 12th. Again, you can access that at BATR.net/BATR News. Back to our conversation with Thomas Ginn. Tom, you then see a situation then where in regard to the armed forces of the United States, we would see a Confederate, in this case talking now about the Confederate States of America, that the armed forces of a CSA would be involved in conflicts that would only be declared conflicts in regard to constitutional declarations of war, and that the involvement of the armed forces of the CSA in said conflicts would be under the total control of the Congress of the CSA.
That's right. If the U.S. operated properly, they would only go to war under a declaration of war. There's nothing in the Constitution that authorizes the president to go to war over international treaties. That's just not a part of the Constitution. The Confederacy also would have an additional checkmate, if you want to put it that way, or protection, and that is the fact that the states will have armed forces. The term National Guard will probably go out of existence quickly after the Confederacy is, well established as an independent nation. You would have revert to the principle of state armed forces, and the national government would be limited because of money and how big of a national force they could maintain over a prolonged period of time. So the bulk of the force to defend the nation would be wrapped up in state armed forces, which could not be federalized except in a declaration of war. Now, that doesn't mean we wouldn't have adequate force. We have plenty of force. The state forces can be trained equally as well as the U.S. Forces, as national forces would be, and they could be equipped with just as much technology by using the system of where you've got to get in touch with a lot of machinery of war is purchased on the bulk. The federal government can purchase it because they're bigger. Well, you can have a cooperative of states, you could achieve the same ends, and that is to be able to make massive purchases, which would cover many states. This is done in purchasing books by the United States. Most states buy their books from the same stores, the school books. Thus, they're cheaper. Otherwise, they'd be a fortune. And you could do the same with equipping state forces. And that way, you wouldn't have any danger of a runaway. And another thing, you wouldn't have any danger of the federal government overpowering the states and instituting these all this socialism that they're involved in. But there's another issue, and that's the money. There wouldn't be any Federal Reserve in the Confederacy. there would have to be a graduated-in system where the Confederate money was backed by gold and silver. Now, I talked to a banker.
You just answered one of my next questions, but go ahead.
The way it would work is it would be impractical to print really gold coins and gold dollars and say you're going to have paper money. But you may have some gold coins. I'm not saying you won't have any, but predominantly the coins and dollars would be backed up by gold and silver. My guess is probably to 80 to 90%. And how you would do that is I talked to a banker who wished to remain anonymous, who was pretty high in the banking, and said that he could create a Confederate monetary system backed in gold and silver, even if you started out without any gold and silver. He said you simply graduated over a 10, 15-year period where you would have a fee imposed on certain items, and then that fee would go directly to purchase gold for the support of the money. He said what that would do, it would create a vacuum, and money would be sucked into the Confederate economy almost like it was a vacuum. I mean, all over the world, if you were a German investor and wanted to put your money somewhere, and you realized that by buying, investing in the Confederate monetary system, you could triple and you could multiply your investment many hundred times over. You know, you would go for that. In a minute, you would go for it. So you would draw money into the Confederacy, and within 5 years, the Confederacy would be one of the, economically speaking, one of the wealthiest nations on earth, and without a Federal Reserve. The U.S. money is not worth anything except what we think it's worth. If you really think about it, it ain't worth a dime. It ain't worth a penny. It ain't worth the money the paper is printed on. The government and the people accept its value, therefore it's worth something. But let me use an example. Take a silver, a $20 gold piece. The same banker said that if you go back in time to the time when they were common, they would buy X amount of goods and services, food, clothing, and shelter. You take the same $20 gold piece, and it'll still buy the same amount of food, clothing, and shelter, approximately. And therefore, the gold hasn't devaluated. When you hear on the stock market gold is up or down, it's the value of the dollar against the gold, which is going up or down. The gold is still, we'll purchase the same thing. And this is what will make the Confederate monetary system solid. And people around the world, these confederated nations I spoke about, would soon base their own economies on the solidness of the Confederate dollar. And this would draw from the globalists who want to do it a different way. And so this is my answer to, is you simply build a solid, moral, decent nation, and the people will follow. And you bring on the national wealth and power. The power of the Confederacy would be based upon its ability to make the best deal in town. I just don't think the Confederacy will need to muscle its way around the world when it can make the best deals that any nation ever made. And so I think we will have no trouble on the world market at all. And doing so without the UN and the globalists and all that, we'll do fine, thank you.
Well, yes, and I think when you look at it, that it seems to me that operating with a couple of your premises, Thomas, that there would be an end to a direct income tax upon CSA citizens, and that you would have an end to the Federal Reserve Board as we have that presently constituted in the United States, that those two things alone, in my view, would go a long way toward ending the unfettered ongoing funding of these imperialistic wars for empire that have little to do with what I would see as the vision of the founding fathers of this country in regard to when you did and didn't use the armed forces of the country for war. It seems to me that you would also have a situation where there would be a much closer relationship between the decision makers and their decisions to go to war, and the people of a duly constituted CSA. Is that basically a correct reading of this?
That's correct. And also, remember playing into this when you said a direct, will be a more direct contact between the elected officials and the national government and the people. We must fall back on the constitution on the structure of the Confederate Senate, which would the senators in the Confederacy are not properly elected. They are chosen or selected by state government. Therefore, let's say the government of Texas finds that his two senators are not acting in the interest of the state of Texas. He simply recalls them. He simply recalls them. Kathy,
yes.
can answer that. he simply recalls them, and you end up with another senator. So, you have senators in the U.S. government for this very reason have no reason to they have no obligation to the state. They claim they do, but they unless there's a personal obligation, such as being owning stock in a state company, they have no absolute. They are nationalist. They are. Their interest is in international and globalism. That's what all your senators probably. I would be surprised to find two senators out of the 100 which have totally their own state's interest at heart. And you would fall back on a system where governor picks up the phone and said, "Listen, if you vote, my people in Congress and the state Congress tell me that if you vote for this, they're going to withdraw you and recall you home, and we'll get another senator." I think you're going to have this situation well under control, and this would be one of the measures you do it with, would be to simply...
Yes, and I think we get into this whole question, don't we, of several things that I think you've touched upon, at least in a peripheral way today. One is the international corporate ownership of the American news media, and the other is what seems to be the corporatist ownership presently of the American political process. Getting into what you talked about when it comes to media, I go back to something that my friend Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, who was my guest on Monday, wrote online in an article entitled "The Great Deception, the Propaganda That We Pay For." He indicates, as you have, Thomas, that there are six conglomerates that control the U.S. media market. Dr. Bakhtiar mentions Time Warner, General Electric, Walt Disney, Bertelsmann AG, Viacom, and News Corp, so Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. So there you have the six. And I would suggest that when it comes to looking at the present composition of the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives, not to mention the folks that traditionally fund the presidential campaigns of both Republican and Democrat presidential contenders, that these kinds of corporate interests have their fingerprints all over these races. And I think what it suggests is a situation where the reason, one of the big reasons, why there has been such a transfer of political power from the states to the federal government, and now from the federal government to the globalist institutions, is because of the money associations and the money trail. And the way I hear you talking about this, the return to the Confederate States of America, as you understand its proposed constitution, would basically end those kinds of alliances and those kinds of money trails.
Yes, I can recall that the issue of let me put it this way: the United States government as an entity has, and all those who support it, has no fear of what we call the Southern culture, for the simple reason they believe they've already conquered it. There's only one thing that makes them turn pale, and that is the possibility of a Confederacy rising up, of having to face, as it were, that same entity which they conquered in a modern context. And so liberating and restoring the Confederacy is the answer to not only economically and politically, but let me add religiously. I think that the Confederacy would become a shining light, speaking of Christianity, around the world, because of under the Confederacy, Christianity would be given the freedom it does not now enjoy. It would be open again to public discussion. Here's the issue people fail religiously to speak in. There's nothing wrong with religious debate. If we differ with other religions, that is what freedom is about. But I have no doubt in my mind that in a free market, Christianity would dominate strictly based upon the freedom to preach and teach and promulgate our faith, would dominate society and the Confederacy in a very short amount of time. And I think this would be seen around the world. They would see this, that the Confederacy not only is interested in political matters, but it stands on its faith. It stands on principle, and I think they would see this. And this would have a lot to do with the tightening of the reins on globalism. I think they would see this immediately.
Yeah, Dr. James P. Cantrell, a good friend of mine who's been on the show in the past a couple of times, has a book entitled How Celtic Culture Invented Southern Literature. And I think Dr. Cantrell goes a long way toward emphasizing the fact that in terms of globalism and collectivism and socialism and all of those types of movements, that there has been a particular need to destroy Southern culture and Southern heritage, which has, of course, involved attacks on the Christian religion. It's involved attacks on the nuclear family. It's involved attacks upon what used to be seen in the southern part of the United States as a local community culture that had its own reasons for being and its own strengths, its own sociology, that militated against the type of centralized, globalized structures that it seems to me would have to kill those things off in order for the larger Leviathan to survive. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Thomas Ginn in those last few minutes, and then we'll be joined after 9 o'clock this morning by Bill Bloom of the Anti-Empire Report. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thomas Ginn of the Confederate States of America has been with us in these last 2 hours. You can find Thomas's websites at csanews.net. That's csanews.net. Also at confederatelegion.com and also at confederatestatealliance.net. ConfederateStatesAlliance.net. Thomas, we've got about just a couple of minutes to go here in terms of your segment of the program. What are your goals in the next year, and what do you think the future fortunes of the CSA are going to be?
I think they're good if people take this in mind. Stop acting like you're helpless. You can make it happen collectively. Those of you who are the leadership type, come forward, look up the Proclamation of Independence, stand on it as a platform, and if you're going to run for office, run on that platform. If you're not going to run for office, rally the Confederate movement on that platform and do something about it. You have the ability, each and every one of you, if you will take action to make it happen.
Yes, and to me that's an interesting perspective, because an awful lot of folks who feel the way that we feel on some of these issues seem to have largely given up hope. And I have been of the opinion for a long time that, well, maybe there wasn't any hope to believe that the any semblance of an old republic could be reconstituted. But then on the other hand, when you look at what has happened in our country in recent years with these disastrous foreign wars and interventions, and with the massive amount of public and private debt that we're talking about, the destruction of the manufacturing sector of our economy, the illegal immigration issue, and the list just goes on and on. It seems to me that there is potentially an entirely new set of circumstances here that would give renewed hope for people like yourself, Thomas, that maybe some semblance of constitutional governance can be regained as people lose complete faith in this degenerate, obviously teetering globalist system that the elites have been pushing upon us for however many decades now.
I want to close with this, and that is
sure.
If people would do what we're saying, it is possible. Now, I'm talking to everybody. If you're freedom-loving, I don't care who your ancestors fought for, the blue or the gray. If you love liberty, stand with us as a Confederate, as an ally, as a copperhead, as a friend. Stand with us and help us make it happen. The North benefits, the South, the East, the West. We all benefit. Even foreign nations will benefit.
Yes, and that we pray that there might still be time for this to be enacted. And once again, I think that potentially the American public's disenchantment with this Iraq war may be the beginning of a recovery of some old American principles. Thomas Ginn, I'd like to thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America. People can find Thomas's websites at csanews.net, confederatelegion.com, and also at ConfederateStatesAlliance.net. We'll be joined by William Bloom of the Anti-Empire Report when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.